Judges chapter 13 in your Bible. Judges chapter 13. I'd like to begin to speak tonight on this thought, pictures of Samson. I don't have any pictures of Samson to show you, but you may have a picture in your mind of Samson, this big muscle-bound guy, I don't know. Maybe you have a Betty Lukens picture of Samson. I don't know if he made the Betty Lukens collection or not. Can't remember. That's the flannel graph many of us may have had as children. But, you know, we have if you had a Bible, maybe at one point that had pictures in it, maybe there was a picture of Samson. But I'm sure when we think of Samson, there are different images that come to mind, not only physical images, but spiritual images in the way he lived his life. If you've read about his life, descriptive things may come to mind. Definitely power comes to mind when you think of Samson, physical power. But it's amazing how in his life, power is something that comes to mind, but also weak comes to mind. You know, so physically strong, given to him by God, but also so weak as well. And, you know, I'm not necessarily picking on him because we can all experience God's power in our life, but we can also find ourselves very weak at times. Heavenly Father, thank you for the meeting thus far. Please help us now as we open your word. Open our heart. Help us to open our hearts to your spirit and your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Samson, a man with potential. Great potential. But not much of it was ever fulfilled. Now, you know, I used to always read the end of the story, you know, and think, wow, that's amazing. You know, he got this awesome strength back at the end of his life and pulled down those pillars and everybody died. And I mean, he killed more in his death than he did in his life and so forth and so on. But I think we're going to see that's obviously God works within, he's sovereign and he works within all of this. But I don't think that's necessarily how it had to be in Samson's life. And I think we'll look at that. Samson, a man with potential, but not much of it fulfilled. Samson, I think we could characterize Samson's life, a lot of introduction here, so just follow with me. We're going to get into Judges 13 in just a moment, by unpredictable and undependable. I mean, all over the chart, if you will. And I personally look at the word double-minded. What does James 1:8 say that a double-minded man is? Who knows? Unstable. As Christians, we need stability. We're not going to be stable as a Christian if we are double-minded. What's the Bible say? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I need the mind of Christ. You need the mind of Christ. We are going to be as unstable as the day is long if we're double-minded. Meaning if we're living the Bible one day and not living it the next. And really, I think that's what we find in the life of Samson, a man who was very unstable. A man who at times was very bold before men, but then at other times he was very weak before women. A man who is empowered by the Spirit of God in unbelievable ways, as I'm sure you've read and we'll read them, but he yielded over and over again. He yielded to the appetites of the flesh. Here's someone who had from birth been said, there was things said about him that are amazing from birth. And the Spirit of God came on him at numerous times, and yet he yielded over and over again to the appetites of the flesh. He would eventually hold hands with the enemy and even go so far as to try to marry one of the enemy. His name means Sonny. Sonny Samson. When I think about that, I think, you know, okay, Let's think about the fact of him coming in to a home where children, it seemed like children weren't going to happen and there wasn't going to be any children. And we're going to get into that. But and all of a sudden, you know, God, in a miraculous way, talks to Mrs. Manoah, because we don't know the mama's name. We know daddy's name, but not mama's name. And you're gonna have a baby. And I mean, they thought that, you know what, that's not going to happen. And so I'm sure the name of Sonny meant something to them. Like there was going to be some brightness now in our home because we're having a baby. Samson. But he ended up in darkness by being blinded by the enemy that he was called to conquer. Interesting. So let's look at several things tonight. We'll get started on this regarding the man Samson. First thing we're going to see is that he was a child with an unbelievable promise. He was a child with an unbelievable promise. Part of this promise was that he was commissioned to protect a nation. Chapter 13, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Now that's a common theme here in the book of Judges. Chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 4. Chapter 6. Chapter 10. Over and over again, and the children of Israel did evil again. And the children of Israel did evil again, or did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines how many years? 40 years. Think about that. 40 years. Four decades. They were dominated by the Philistines. Now, something that I never really recognized, and I'm still reading it, and I'm gonna make the statement as confidently as possible, but I don't see any time during this particular 40 years that the children of Israel asked God for help. Now you think about it. You're getting dominated 5, 10, 10 years, and 15 years, and 20, and 25 years. And we're going to look at a statement here in a little while that really attested to the spiritual temperature of the people there in this day. The fact that they didn't even call for help. They even went so far, we're going to look at it right now. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 15. Turn over two pages, chapter 9. This is part of the captivity still. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said to Samson, or to the Philistines, excuse me, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do him as he hath done unto us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, 3,000 men, that's a lot of people. They've got a message for Samson. Look at the message. Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? You know, haven't you? Where have you been the last 40 years? We're in captivity to them. To me, I find these questions intriguing. Notice the next one. What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto him, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they bind him with cords and he breaks. The point is, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, okay, so basically the children of Israel are upset with Samson because he's made the Philistines upset. They're in bondage. Don't rock the boat, Samson. We're comfortable being in bondage. What a sad state it is. You know, but you know what? Isn't that sometimes where the enemy wants to get us? The enemy wants to get us comfortable in maybe being backslidden. The enemy wants to get us comfortable in being where we haven't read our Bible for a while, or we've neglected to pray, or whatever. And it just becomes, maybe a few days becomes a week, and then a week becomes 2 weeks and a month. And then, you know, it's just, we don't want to hear any preaching on reading our Bible. We don't want to hear any preaching on praying because, you know what, we've just kind of got out of the routine, and I'm just comfortable in the way that I'm living. And the devil loves to keep us comfortable. If we're going away from God. Oh, but God loves us, and He convicts us, and He chastises us lovingly, of course, but He wants us to have that close relationship with Him. So He had a nation to protect. This nation didn't even want to be protected. Let's go back to chapter number 13. Secondly, He had an unbelievable promise. He had a nation to protect. Secondly, He had a God to serve. Look at verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren. Now, in this Bible time, and I'm just, you know, just biblical facts here, it was really shameful to not have children. I mean, it was just really, looked on in a way that to be barren was just devastating. And here we see that Manoah and Mrs. Manoah have not been able to have children, and I'm sure it was devastating. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive. What a message. And bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, many times in Scripture, you've probably read them as well, we see God sending an angel to deliver very important messages. Many of these times, God has sent these angels to deliver a message regarding birth. Remember Abraham and Sarah. An angel, or there was a message there. Hannah in Samuel, regarding Samuel, and many others. Remember Joseph and Mary, the angel coming to Mary and letting her know you're going to have the Christ child. And here we see the same in the life of Samson. Now, each time one of these children is born, just like each time a child is born now, they are a gift from God. And God has a special purpose. God has a special purpose for Samson here. He wanted Samson to be set apart to serve him. By the way, God wants us as parents to bring our children up set apart to serve him. Set apart to fear him. Set apart to love him. Set apart to be in his book and to be in the house of God. And look, Samson was called of God of the special task. But here in 2019, isn't it a blessing? As we have many children here tonight, we have many children here on the Lord's Day. I want us to be praying for the children of Anchor Baptist Church. The next generation of servants, the next generation of ushers and Sunday school teachers and church members and missionaries and so forth are within those young people. Whether they be children, whether they be teenagers, even the young adults as well in their 20s. God told these parents, hey, you're gonna have a baby. And I've got a special task for that baby. God had plans for baby Samson. You know what? God tonight looks down on this congregation, and whether we are 5 or whether we are 65, God has a plan for your life. God has a special plan for your life. God has something that He has designed and that He has formulated in His sovereignty and in His plan, that it is designed uniquely for you. No one in this room is exactly like anyone else. We might have the same, we might look like somebody else. In other words, siblings sometimes take on the look of another sibling or even a parent. But there's no one here that is exactly alike. And that's beautiful because God has a specific will for everyone here. Think about the will of God and how wonderful that is just with the group here tonight. And God said to Manoah, hey, your wife's going to have a baby, and that baby, I have something very important for that baby to do. But God has something very important for us to do tonight. Not only that, but this unbelievable promise, this child with unbelievable promise, he had a nation to protect, he had a God to serve. Thirdly, he had a home to honor. He had a home to honor. Let's read a little bit about this home. Look at verse 6. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name." I didn't get a whole lot of information. "But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat anything, any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Notice how Manoah responds. Where does he go? Immediately, he entreated the Lord. Now remember, this is in a time when these people were under bondage to the Philistines. But I believe we have a godly home here. Because exactly why? Because what does Manoah do when he's presented with this story from his wife? Not that he didn't believe her, but he's presented with this information that surely must have been very exciting, even, "I'm going to be a daddy." And he immediately goes to the Lord. He entreats the Lord. I find that to be a great testimony for within this home. "O my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." Hey, what a testimony for every dad in the room tonight. Hey, God, I've got sons, I've got daughters, and they're under my roof still, and even the ones that aren't under my roof. Hey, God, how can I be the best dad? That's exactly what he's asking for. Hey, God, I'm a mom tonight, and I've got these children in the home, and I've got children that are maybe adults. Hey, how can I be? Let's look at that one more time. And he says, "O Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again and teach us what we shall do unto the child." What would it mean tonight if all of us here with youngins at home and youngins abroad said to God tonight, "Hey, God, teach me how to be a better parent"? You think that would help? Come on, that would help. Pastor Turner needs to ask to be a better parent. You need to ask to be a better parent. There's nobody in here that is that has arrived at being a parent. I love this testimony from Manoah. "God, teach me how to teach the child." We've got this parenting class coming up. I think the timing is unbelievable. And I don't know, we're not going to start it until the new year, but I believe this meeting on Sunday is very important. And this just stood out to me as I was reading through this text. Let God help us to know what we can do for the child. Look at verse number 9. "And God hearkened unto the voice of Manoah." Hey, you think if we ask God for help, he's going to hide? I don't think so. By the way, you say, "Pastor Turner, I'm not rearing any kids right now." But well, I'm sure you need some help with something too. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Hey, when we ask for help, I believe God answers. The people, as far as we know, the people for 40 years haven't asked God for deliverance. And here we have within that captivity a home that is blessed by God with this angel who I believe to be an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that. Maybe not this week. Maybe it might be next week. We'll see. But here we have this family that all of a sudden their day was just going along like an usual old day. And now everything's changed. But here we see some wisdom from this father. When he gets the message, he goes right to God. And what does God do? God hearkens to him. He answers him. Verse number 9. "And the angel of God came again unto the woman. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. And it shall be opened unto you." The angel comes again. "And she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, wasn't with her." Wow. "And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child?" How do we rear this child? Now, what are those instructions? Now, we're not going to go into the Nazarite vow right now, tonight, but we can even glean from that here. How do you want us to bring this child up? Can you repeat that, please? And isn't it something? We have God's word tonight. Whether we're a dad, a mom, a husband, a wife, a church member, a laborer, we're a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, no matter what we are tonight in the Lord, we have a book of instructions. This is basic instructions before leaving earth, right? B-I-B-L-E. Somebody told me that at the Union Gospel Mission years ago when we were preaching down there. And I kind of looked at him like, say that again, I missed that. Basic instructions before leaving earth, Bible. I said, you know what? You're right. I never heard of that before, but I like that one. And that's exactly what Manoah, he didn't have 66 books to look at to how to be a dad, but he had access to God. God, show me how to be. What are we supposed to do? And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. Verse 13, and the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, and goes through that. And verse 15, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made thee ready for a kid. They want to worship the Lord here as a result of this. As a result of this message, I want to get down to verse 18. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Seeing it is secret. And we'll come to that a little bit later on, God willing. So he had a home to honor. These are his parents, Manoah and his wife. I believe these are people from this passage, I believe we can confidently say that they believed in prayer. They believed in talking to God. They believed in getting help from the Lord. And the Lord gave it. God was working. By the way, God was working even in the midst of this 40 years of bondage. Tonight, we might look around us and we might think that the losing side is gaining ground. As we sing the song, we're on the winning side, right? You believe you're on the winning side tonight? We must have all had big dinners tonight. We're all tired and ready to go to bed. Hey, I'm on the winning side tonight. And we might look around us and we might see that the world, who is the losing side, by the way, though anyone without Christ is not going to be on the winning side. And we might look at them and we might see how everything seems to be going right for the losing side, and those that are on the winning side are struggling. Let me just tell you that God is always working, no matter what it perceives to be happening in this world. God is always working, and God has this world in his hands, and God is going to be victorious. He is always victorious. And so we see here that that he had a home to honor. You know, we have a name to honor tonight. You're saved, you have a name. You have the name Christian. Christian. Follower of Christ. You know, Samson, he had a home to honor. He had a name to honor. He was Manoah's boy. The only one that we know of that he had, only one child. Tonight, we are God's child. We're God's son. We're God's daughter. We carry with us a name. Higher than the name Tejada. Higher than the name Turner. It's the name of Christ. And when we leave this building, we're Christians. And when we go to work, we're Christians. And when we're at home, we're Christians. And when we're around the enemy, we're protected by the Lord. We're Christians. And we need to boldly and compassionately stand for Christ. I believe that's what Manoah was doing in his day. We should strive to honor that name. We were given a new name, and it's been written down in glory. Samson, unfortunately, though, didn't do very well at honoring his father and mother's name. I'm going to show you something. Look at chapter 16. To me, this is one of the saddest ends to someone's life. Look at chapter 16, please. Verse 31. It's the last verse. And his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him. If you don't know the story of Samson, he's buried in the rubble. Can you imagine his family? That's who's picking him out of the rubble. I don't know if that brethren means kin or if it means what it means there, but I know the house of his father is obviously family. Can you imagine them taking the rock and pulling the rubble back? I don't know what it must have, I don't know how it all happened. We don't have a picture, but we just know that the roof collapsed on top of them, and I'm sure it wasn't a nice, pleasant picture. Pulling his body from that temple wreckage and having to bury him. Fast forward back in time to that original meeting with the angel of God. You're going to have a baby. You imagine how that word must have spread through the Manoah household? Hey, Manoah's going to have a baby. Hey, Manoah's wife's going to have a baby. Hey, Manoah's wife's going to have a baby. Can you believe it? And now years later, here they are, pulling out his body. He said, number one, he was a child with an unbelievable promise. We're going to stop right there tonight. We have a lot more, so I don't want to get halfway through it. But as you think about this theme, really, of the pictures of Samson. When we got saved, our whole life changed. And when we got saved and our life changed, you know what we were given? We were given all the promises of this book. Every one of them. They apply to you. They apply to me. The promises of God. They're mine. They're yours. We can stand on the promises. Amen. Samson was a child of great promise. And really, I believe it was greatly unfulfilled. And we're going to dig into more into that next Wednesday. As to why, what happened to this giant of a man. But a very weak.